Good morning. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. As the scriptures say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Again, I am truly blessed and honored to be here. It's a privilege to be among the church, to Pastor Mike, all the other leaderships here. We are the church, and we all have a story. And I just come to exhort the church, ecclesia, to call out ones. We are called out together to love God, love people, serve, and make an impact. But I'm so grateful that I can be able to open up the greatest book ever written to mankind and be between Genesis and Revelation, because I do have a story. But my story is always connected to my Heavenly Father. My story is connected to character, biblical characters in the Bible. Biblical characters that can teach the church to never give up. Teach the church to work together as a team. Teach the church to allow our light to shine, that this world may know who our Savior is. And it is Jesus the Christ. I'm like Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because I know it still has power unto salvation to save anyone who will believe. But today, God, the Holy Spirit, led me to a biblical character I truly believe that we can all learn something from. And you have found in Genesis chapter 37. So if you have your Bibles, please meet me in Genesis chapter 37. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I will commence reading at verse number 18 and conclude at verse number 20. You'll find these words in Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 18. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast had devoured him. What shall we see when we see, shall we see what become of this dreamer? This is God's word for the edification of his people. Amen. As I look at this is my story, there's no way I would be in front of you if God didn't have a plan for my life. No, I didn't know the plan. I didn't understand the plan. But I truly knew that God is omniscient, means he knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent, means he has all power in his hands. So my assignment here is to encourage, edify the local church, the universal church, to tell you that you have a story. I have a story. And God already wrote your story. So even though, as the church, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have some trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Jesus said, I'm not going to build buildings. I'm going to build people. And as I build people, we are in an evil and perverse world, but you can never stop talking about your story. You can never stop writing your story. And what I love about Joseph He reminds me of myself because I too had the dream when it was the things around me didn't want me to succeed. I had the dream when people said, you're not going to make it. I had the dream because I was brought up in a fatherless home. I had the dream that one of these old days, I'm going to make something of myself. But I had a grandmother by the name of Harriet Davis. She knew my story, and she started praying for me. Even though I didn't know what she was saying, she told me a long time ago about Joseph, but in my feeble mind, I didn't understand what she was saying. But I only stand before you today on this Sunday morning because God tapped me one more time with his divine finger of love. He allowed my eyes to open up to see the beauty of a brand new day. Even though I play some ball, I still have some pain in my left knee, but he still gave me a portion of my health and my strength. So I'm only in front of you because of the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Almighty God. So I must tell my story. And I pray you'll tell your story because once we get in the spiritual huddle, we can hear Joseph tell his story. Yes, I was in a huddle with the Chicago Bears, but now I'm in a huddle with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And once I'm in the huddle, I can hear him say, keep on dreaming. Keep telling people to dream because your dream is what God wrote. Your dream is what people need to hear because can't nobody tell your testimony like you can. Your testimony is power for the next generation. Your testimony is power for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your testimony is for somebody who looking afar like Joseph's brothers were looking at him. And I come to encourage somebody, we all experience challenges in our lives. Many of these challenges are connected to our families. They're connected to our relationships. They're connected to our health, just to name a few. So it means that we're all going to have some challenges. So my thesis, my one main point that I want to drive home for application is God presence. No matter what you have to go to, no matter what I have to go to, God made a promise that I would never leave you, no forsake you. People may walk away from you. People may do things to you, but I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who touched you. I'm the one who got your back. I'm the one who tell you, keep on going because I brought you too far for you to turn back now. I'm the one who made sure you got up and said the S-U-N, but you should praise me for the S-O-N. I'm the one who allowed you to get up and tell your story. It's sometimes difficult to understand why, God, why would you let me go through these trials, God? Why would you let this occur in my life? Because, Lord, I try to praise you. I try to worship you. I try to go through with you, God. I try to tell other people, but why you let me go through these things? I heard them say a long time ago, Morgan, between Genesis and Revelation, there are some biblical characters. Not just for history, but there are some biblical characters to teach you how to never give up. There are some biblical characters to show you that I was with them, I'm going to be with you. Because the God that we serve, he's immutable, means he never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So somebody may be in here and watching that you say, can I hear my story? Can I keep writing my story? Do anybody want to hear my story? Because everybody has a story. You don't have to be on television. You don't have to be in Hollywood, but you still have a story. No matter how young you is, no matter how old you are, what is your story? Many of us in our seasons, because we have four seasons, whatever season you're in right now, you may be overwhelmed. You may be confused. You may be helpless. But I come in the power of the Holy Spirit. I come to tell somebody, God is with you. God has your back. Because the text says, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Verse 19 says, then they said to one another, look, look. this dreamer is coming. In my own story, I started dreaming when I was a young boy. I started dreaming saying, I'm going to become somebody. I started dreaming saying, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how I got to go through. God, my grandmama said, you with me. Are you going to really be with me? And I heard my grandma, she said, come here, let me pray for you. And she taught me how in my story now to pray. She taught me in my story now to pray for others. She taught me in my story to stay in the book because as I played football, I had a playbook. But that playbook don't do me no good when I got to go through storm. I got the greatest playbook ever written to mankind. And the Father is the coach. Jesus is the coach. The Holy Spirit is the coach. And you need to understand every now and then you got to open up your playbook. And here, the greatest play is being called. I just called a play for you. Flip right slide, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 through 20. And in the scripture, it said, they saw him. And God's word assures us that while we are in the midst of our challenges, God has our best interests in mind. And everything will work out for his glory, for your good. For the impact of his people. When I was watching the video, I heard the example. When I watched the video, I heard the legacy. What I like about Joseph, even though it didn't look good for Joseph, God was still with him. You don't get nothing else I say throughout this sermon. Understand at one point, God's presence in your life. Because like my life, a storm's gonna come. In your life, it's gonna get rough sometimes. But I would rather be on the boat so Jesus Christ can, just like he told Joe, peace, be still. I'm in control. But as I exegete this text right quick, in the story of Joseph, Jacob, and Rachel, Jacob's favorite son is found in Genesis chapters 37 through verse 39. I would like just to bring out, extrapolate, just two principles that the Holy Spirit can allow you and I to ponder on, meditate on when we all by ourselves. And the first one, again, is God's presence. As Christians, this is the foundational principle for the season of hardship because jealousy, envy, strife, Joseph's brothers, plotted to kill him. Scripture teaches us that God was with Joseph. And I stop here to tell somebody, God is with you. God is with me. And no matter what you have to go through, you got to understand, you have to write your own script to say God is with me. Because even though we see on the screen, this is my story, I need to hear your story sometime. You need to hear my story sometime. Because if the church is going to continue to advance God's kingdom, we have to understand some jealousy is going to be around us sometimes. Some envy going to be around us sometimes. Some things going to be around us sometimes. But the church can never stop. Because if the church stops, the world suffers. The church needs to understand that God used Joseph. And scripture teaches us that if God was with Joseph, you can never give up by your story. You can never give up telling your story. You need to understand that God is faithful. God keeps his promises. I'm going to say that again. God is faithful. God keeps his promises. And through my storms of life, whatever thing I had to go through, my father said at the age of 7, you're not going to amount to anything. You are not my son. But that was my biological father, not knowing that I had a heavenly father. My biological father said, you're not going to amount to anything. I wish you can see me now. Because God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. God is the greatest director. God is the greatest producer. God is the greatest director that can write your story. So no matter what he said, my story today, I have a beautiful daughter. My story today, I have a son. And all I try to do is allow them to see what I saw in Joseph. No matter what people do to me, no matter what people say to me, God has me. He's telling me over and over and over, what are you going to do? Are you going to listen to them or are you going to trust me? What are you going to do? Are you going to believe what I said about you? Because I knew you in the womb. I already knew what was going to happen to you, just like he knew about Joseph. He knew his brothers. Why do you want to get so mad at me? Because Jacob, our father, loves me more? No. You're mad because he made me a coat? He's mad because I may have some royalty? But God's saying, Joseph, be still and see what I do in your life. And that's a word for somebody. Be still and praise your God. Be still and look how far he has brought you from. Be still and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Be still and say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Be still and know the God that served Jacob, the God that served Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. He's the same God who said, I will instruct you, teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. And what I love about Joseph, he had to go through. He had to go through. But I look at verse 20, it said, come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast had devoured him. What shall see what becomes of the dreamer? Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into the slavery. It wasn't until he was 30 that he became the prime minister of Egypt. For 13 years, he walked in the middle of adversity. For 13 years, he walked in the middle of adversity. How much time have you walked in adversity? Did you see God? Did you hear God? How much time did you walk in your adversity and you had to be still and say, God, I don't know where I'm going. God, I'm afraid. God, I don't know how I'm going to get there. But I read in your word, God, you said in the book of Titus, you can't lie. And since, God, you can't lie, I'm just going to tie a rope and I'm going to hold on to your promises. I'm going to hold on to your truth because God, I almost went back, God, because what my father said, but you said, keep coming forward. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Keep coming forward to me. And I'm telling somebody, when it gets rough in your life, when it gets hard in your life, be still and say, God, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. All my help comes from you. You create the heavens and the earth. Sometimes when we are mistreated, our focus shifts from God to our problems. Make sure you don't shift from the God who's powerful. Make sure you don't shift to the one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Make sure you don't shift from the one that said, I'm still Jehovah Jireh. Make sure you don't shift for the one who said, I'm still Jehovah Shalom. I can give you peace in the midnight hour. Don't shift from God to your problem, because when you shift to God to your problem, you make your problems bigger to the God that you shift from. But make sure you don't shift, because sometimes we shift only focus on the problem of the one who hurt us the most. But God's saying, I know just what I'm doing, because if I'm with you, I got you. God has a purpose. He had a purpose for every step of Joseph's journey. Can you see it? But Joseph couldn't see it. He couldn't see how his brothers hated on him. He couldn't see how he was thrown as a slave. He couldn't understand why Potiphar's wife would lie on him. He couldn't understand why the cupbearer and the baker would forget about him when he had to interpret some dreams. But what I love about God, he always has a way of making somebody remember you in your story. He has a way of somebody remember you when you write your story. And the cupbearer said, I know somebody who can interpret the dreams, Pharaoh. What's his name? Joseph. Look how God is bringing Joseph to Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. In God's plan, Joseph will act as the savior of both his family and entire Egyptian civilization during a seven-year famine. Can you see the picture? God is setting it up for Joseph, even though he went through saying, Joseph, I'm going to use you. Even though your brothers hated on you, I'm still going to use you. Even though Potiphar's wife lied on you, I'm still going to use you. Even though the cupbearer and the baker, they forgot you, I'm still going to use you because I'm using you because you is going to save your family and the nation. Canaan and Egyptian, you're going to save them because of you. What I love about God, God's sovereign direction of Joseph's life illustrate the truth found in Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose. And what I love about God is he's saying over and over and over, I know what I'm doing. And I can use anybody. Even though the world try to crush them, even though the world try to break them, I can still use them. And I'm grateful that I was able to keep my dreams going because all I wanted to do was have a football card of me. I told my mother, if I just have a football card, I made it. But now I have over 20-some cards, and I don't say that to be aloof. I'm just watching how God worked his plan in my life. If you'd have told me I would have been a pastor, I'd say, wait a minute, hold up. That wasn't in my plan. But that's why I'm not omniscient like God. He knows everything. In my feeble mind, I don't know, but I hooked up with the one who knows it all, and he said, follow me, Anthony, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, Anthony. Even through your storms, follow me. Even through your pain, follow me. Even through all the headache and the distraction, follow me because I want you to stand before me and hear me say, servant, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I come to encourage us as the church. We are the church. We are the church. Tell your story. Hear my story. Let us exhort one another around our story so we can understand when we tell our story, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. When we tell our story, we walk by faith and not by sight. When we tell our story, somebody else going to hear and say, how do I get to know Jesus for myself? Let me tell you my story. I'm cool with Joseph, but I too have a story. I have a story because my story has me with the greatest book ever written to mankind. It was three books in my life I had before I met Christ. I had my school books. I had my playbook, but I didn't have the book. But now that I have the book, I push some other books to the side and I read the book over and over and over because I read the biblical characters over and over and over. But I cannot just keep saying Joseph without saying he was connected to Christ. Because even though Joseph's brothers had to come back to him, sometime when people hurt us and they had to come to us, we said, nah, I'm in charge now. Now you're going to listen to me now. No. Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. But let me travel all the way down to Calvary's cross because Jesus took on the sins of the whole world. That was his story. He's on the cross between two thieves That's his story. They treated him, mocked him bad. That's his story. They spit on him. They beat him. They beat him without being recognized. That's his story. But he on the cross. And in this story, he could have called down legions of angels to come down and take care of the problem. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I'm grateful that my story goes on. Not because what I did, my story goes on like Joseph, because I too can help somebody. I too can tell somebody, a young child, you can make it. I too can tell somebody, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. I too can tell somebody from my story, I got knocked down, but I got back up. They told me I wasn't gonna make it, but I got back up. They told me you were not gonna do good in school. I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. They told me I wasn't gonna do it. They told me you ain't gonna make it nowhere. I got out of Cleveland, went to the Bears, and went to the Pack. I did make it. So I'm here to tell somebody, now I got a voice. It ain't my voice. I'm just the one saying, like John the Baptist, he increased as I decrease. So I come to tell the church. I come to tell the church, God causes all things to work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, you're called. God has a purpose for you. The church is called. God has a purpose. If we're going to be the church, ecclesia, the church that's called out, everybody is valuable with your story. A child, we can help them with their story. A person of age, we can help them with their story. A seasoned saint, we can help them with their story. And since no life is free from challenges, it is vital that we stand on these two principles, because we all gonna face some adversities just like Joseph. So we gotta understand, back to my thesis, we gotta understand God's presence. We got to understand God's purpose. But somebody might be here. Somebody may be watching saying, Pastor Morgan, I'm going through some challenges. I'm hurting even though I'm a Christian. I get tired. I want to throw in the towel. I want to give up because the world is squeezing me. I would tell you, as they squeeze, keep dreaming. As they squeeze, keep praising. As they squeeze, keep praying. As they squeeze, make sure you're right between Genesis and Revelation. Because when you're between Genesis and Revelation, you don't hear nobody's voice, you hear the voice. And what got me through many times when I wanted to quit, I had to cut out all the distractions and hear the voice. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Like Joseph, I've been following him for over 25 years now. It ain't been easy, but I gave a promise to the Lord. I want to die full, but I want to be empty when I see him. I want to give everything I have to the Lord. And I'm grateful that I'm part of the body. I'm like Steven Spielberg. I don't need to be out in the front as long as I'm on the team. I don't need to get no credit as long as I'm on the team. Because if I'm on the team, you can count on me to do my part. If I'm on the team, no matter what you're going through, I'm going to encourage you. We can't give up. I'm going to encourage you. As I get ready to take my seat, people going through challenges want to hear over and over and over, God is with you. God has a purpose for your life. The Bible is full of stories. Let us learn from Joseph. And let us keep telling each other over and over and over, we are unstoppable together. We are unstoppable together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that you love us. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. But we thank you for the biblical character and the life and the lessons we have learned from Joseph. Help us to let our light shine before men so that we may see, the world may know that we are one of your disciples. Let them understand all we want to do is glorify you. Bring your church together that we'll be on one accord with love and unity and purpose to uplift the name of Jesus. Let love penetrate our hearts. Let unity penetrate our minds. And let the devil know, Lord, he can't stop your church because you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I release this prayer under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and every heart said, amen.